It is Tuesday, the 26th of July, and this is episode 91 of Digital Outbox. Hello, I am Chris. Welcome to another episode of Digital Outbox. I'm joined by Henry tonight.
Hello, Chris.
Hello, and Ian's along as well.
I am Ian. Just to follow your I am Chris. It was like Transformers.
I am legend.
Every time we start these blooming things, I want to say welcome along, but then my brain stops me because you take the mick out of me.
Come along.
I'm thinking of something else, and now I just say I am Chris.
the only reason I take the mic, it's like I'm listening to an episode of The Archers when you do that. Well, come along.
don't diss The Archers, man.
Well, I've never listened to one, but in my head...
That's what they're like, yeah.
They're sitting there with a knitting. Or you'll be sitting there with a knitting. Well, come along to another episode of The Archers. Clickety-click. Knit one, two, pull together.
Oh, dear.
It's much more serious than that, you know. There's a salmonella outbreak in the ice cream.
Is that what's going on? I haven't listened to it for a little while. I must get back into it. Anyway, tonight's episode, we're going to talk a bit of hacking, because why not? And that seems big at the moment. And then lots of numbers. We could call this the numbers episode, can't we? Everyone's releasing their earnings, basically. So expect some big numbers. And then we're going to talk some Apple stuff. And then maybe a few other bits and bobs. So let's get going with...
One important point.
Go on then.
No more Skype. We have ditched Skype. We are in a Google Hangout. It's working like a dream.
It is so far. My computer hasn't crashed.
And neither's mine. Yeah, that's a pretty good going, really.
Yeah. Good job, Google. So, hacking. So, hackers get hacked. This is a story The Sun got. I don't know. Actually, Ian, can you explain it? Because I didn't see this thing go out, but apparently it was quite interesting.
So in the midst of Rupert the Bear basically getting caught, finally, and at the same time as Brooks resigning and all that good stuff, and I was going to put a whole lot of that in, because you know I'm quite excited about all that, but everybody knows the story and it's been everywhere. The Sun got hacked, so LulzSec, who allegedly were retired.
Yeah, the people who used to send out a letter of retirement, yeah.
Yep, so they donned their Robin Hood cape, hat, bow and arrow. I don't quite know what they use. But they swung back into action, hacked The Sun and redirected it to they put up a false story about how Murdoch had died. And everybody rejoiced, thinking, yeah, until you saw the LulzSec logo at the bottom. And if that wasn't enough, they then just reported it to their web account. And from that then on, I think they got the Times. Then I think they had every news international site. And then the whole thing just got brought down.
Pretty clever how quickly they did it. I mean, okay, whatever you think about these guys, that is technically pretty clever.
Hmm.
Yeah. Wish they'd use it for something a little bit maybe.
So they got a bit of a pounding because on the same day it'd been announced that the X News of the World journalist that was kind of behind some of this and had leaked bits and etc. He'd been found dead. So I guess people were a bit annoyed that they'd said that Murdoch had died at the same time that this guy had died. But hey ho. Oh, I'll just end the story with a hey ho and a
hey ho and a
indeedy. So that's the hacking done for today. But
they also seemingly they've grabbed like loads of emails.
Oh well, in the standard form, they've grabbed what they could grab out there, and I'm sure they'll put it out there in the wild again.
If only it was something juicy.
Yeah.
You know, like where Murdoch's wife got her karate training from. You know, something that we can use.
I know, it's the rather poor taste Twitter joke that's been going around, isn't it? About, Rupert Murdoch has been very moved by the messages of condolences sent to Amy Winehouse's phone from her.
Oh, dear. The thing is, I think it came out today that seemingly our phone was one of the ones that was hacked as well.
Not surprising, years ago, really.
Years ago, when they were trying to chase down like if she'd actually given up drugs. Of course she hadn't. Anyway, I shouldn't have said that.
Right, so Apple's numbers are huge, as you might expect, as they always are and forevermore will be. So they've come out of their quarterly...
These are especially big.
Yeah, go on, give us a rundown of the big,
oh, no,
the
you're,
bigness.
You're our ITV, Laura. You can tell the numbers. I just thought I'd interrupt you.
That's right. So, earnings $7.79 per share. Revenue, they've totaled $28.57 billion, which is, so profit-wise, $7.31 billion. I mean, we're talking just astronomical amounts of money pouring around.
That's 3 months.
Most, yeah, exactly, and most of it I am still from phones and tablet.
Well, yep. I did see that very interesting comment. I mean, the numbers are slightly disputed, but even so, you know, getting on in the region of 8, 9, 10% of PC sales, if you count an iPad as a PC, would have been iPads, which is just phenomenal if you think of that in the last quarter. If you think of that.
I wouldn't personally bundle them together, but I mean, but then again, if you put in its own little region, then it's 99.99% of tablets, isn't it, basically?
Yeah, they either own that whole market or they own like 10% of PCs. Yeah, whatever way you want to cut it, it's still pretty good going.
They are big numbers.
Ridiculous. So we're talking up from is it up from last quarter or last year? So Quarter 3, 2007,
14%
up.
And it's also, just to put it in perspective, that's our best ever quarter. So going away from Christmas and all the big stellar launches that are before, that's our best quarter ever.
And that's without the iPhone 5, yeah, coming out September. You
know, I think it was 10 million iPhone sales alone.
They are the messiah company, aren't they? They're really, they do walk on water. Whether that's healthy or not, I don't really know, but they're still releasing good products, so... What the heck, eh? So Google have also released their numbers. Also impressively large, yet not quite as impressive as Apple. But they've turned over $9 billion of revenue, and that's been converted into $3.5 billion of profit. So you know, I wouldn't sniff. You know, turn that away. Be fine.
And over 500,000 Android activations per day. Which is massive.
It's huge, isn't it?
Almost unbelievably large. I mean, is that disputed? It sounds just ridiculously high.
Apple always kind of dispute it and say, you know, we still think there's something quite sniffy, funny about this. And there was a kind of story come out today that the return rate is around about 40% in some Android devices, which is massive.
But that seems ridiculous to me.
It does seem ridiculous. I can't believe that. I don't know anybody who's bought an Android phone and has returned it, so I can't believe that 40% are getting returned.
No, and I know there do seem to be a lot of people with Android devices. It's not like with the tablets where the numbers of, you know, they talk about the numbers manufactured, and a huge amount of those are not, obviously they're in shops or in stock somewhere, exactly. But they're not
and
actually
activations but, in somebody's hand. You know, it's.
Yep. Yeah, I don't think there's as much funny business going on with that as Apple would have us believe.
No, I think they're just massive sales.
The thing about Android is that obviously it can be massaged into a tiny footprint for use in a, you know, a device that doesn't really even look like Android. You know, it could still be running underneath something that just looked completely different. So, and I think there's people building operating systems on top of Android. So. So again, it's almost, you know, some of them are stealth almost. They're not what we would consider to be the full Android operating system, but
yeah, I mean, it's almost like it's almost like Java devices, isn't it? I mean, you know, if you talked about the number of Java activations in devices, you would find it would be an astronomical number as well. You know, doesn't necessarily mean what you think it means.
And something else that was pointed out, Google Plus at this earnings call had 10 million users. I think people are now seeing it's got 20 million users. And during that call, Larry Page was basically almost broadcasting it live on his Google Plus account. So it's and I But to be honest, I'm really enjoying Google Plus.
Google Plus really is, like, say, it's turned into one of those places. The web is, it's got return stickiness. Is that what they call it?
It's stickiness.
Yeah. So you kind of check Facebook, check Twitter, and check Google Plus. It's one of those kind of sites.
Do you think so? I mean, I know I've got a lot of Facebook friends that are really not switching to Google Plus. It still seems to be a typical Google beta thing, which you know, those who are technically literate love and jump in on. But the thing that Facebook has is that, you know, everybody's on it and everybody goes there, and Google Plus doesn't really. I mean, I love the circles and things, but it doesn't really have that wow factor that's going to get people to switch over who are not really kind of into their tech and into moving for the sake of it. So to me, I think it's great, but I don't really think it's got the extra pizzazz to get people to switch from Facebook. But
I guess one of the things that techie geeky people like about it is how clean and streamlined it is. Whereas maybe part of the attraction of Facebook for a lot of people is how cluttered and full of geeky, well, little, you know, gimmicky apps and stuff like that it's got on it.
And I think with the tech community, so obviously all the tech folk are on there first. You know, it's usual with any of these products, they're all on there first. And I guess it's a bit of a lottery which ones take off and which ones don't. If you look at how quickly it has grown, but it's far quicker than any other, you know, Twitter or Facebook. It's growing massively. And at the same time, it's the engagement. It's not just the stickiness, but, you know, people are putting up posts and getting, you know, hundreds of comments. There's photographers putting up photos and getting, you know, engagement that they don't get on Facebook or Twitter.
It's the closest thing to someone eroding Facebook's margins rather than Facebook eroding other people's, you know.
I think it's more eroding Twitter. I think Facebook's going to still be the one where the normal folk are going to hang out. And I think Twitter is going to start, I'm not saying it's going to decline, because that kind of, you know, mass broadcast to anybody is still, you know, very much what Twitter does. But I can see, because I mean, a lot of people were starting to, a lot of people, you know, a lot of the big blogs and tech, and obviously there's a lot of the kind of entertainment shows by side are using Facebook as well, and go and like here and do all that kind of stuff. I can see that almost moving on to Google Plus more, but I can just see Twitter starting to struggle. You know, it's not, you know, if I go and put up, you know, we've got a new podcast out, or I've got a blog post, and I compare it to what, you know, seems to be, you know, folk are getting back from Google Plus, it seems to be night and day. And I don't know if it's just, as you said, there's a bit more stickiness about it, whether people are more involved, whether it's just got, you know, massive traction, whereas, you know, Twitter's stagnating right now.
But it's still very early days, and it's still in the, I would say it's still in that that phase of being the latest thing, the new thing. Then people
it's
are
the honeymoon period, isn't it?
The honeymoon period is that's definitely the thing. So we'll see how it continues, I think.
But for a free product, I mean, it's given us Hangout right now, which is what we've talked about almost since day one of this podcast.
Yep, and Facebook are lacking on that. What do they do? They put Skype one-on-one chatting, video chat. So that's it. Anyway, let's move on to Microsoft, the company that we keep saying is surely doomed to failure. what are its figures? Well, 17.37 billion dollars of revenue, profits of 5.87 billion. So they're really not doing too badly. I mean, considering how badly we think they're doing as a company and the general consensus is, they're still turning over an awful lot of money and turning that into profit.
Absolutely. Yeah. The only interesting point was the fact that the one weak spot was Windows. So they're slowing as tablet PC sales are eating into the demand of traditional PCs. So I was quite surprised that was the kind of weak point that they highlighted.
Yeah, I don't know if this is a good place to bring it up, but I was using Lion and stuff. Oh, crikey, hang on. So there's a motorbike going by now. Right. Yeah, I was using sort of Lion. I think Windows is actually, for me, a better operating system. I don't know if that's controversial, but I still think it's Windows management is stronger than Lion's offering.
We shall discuss anon.
Yeah. So we will, but I'm just we'll put that out there in the Microsoft section for you, and we can return in the Lions section later.
Which we can ignore in the Lions section later.
Yeah. So their profits are up by healthy margins. It seems like so tech and gadgets is the place to be earning money at the moment in the world.
Yeah, I mean, to put it in perspective, I mean, Google's profits were 60% of Microsoft's, you know, and you know.
It's only Apple that are beating them, really.
It is.
Just out of interest, what were the Windows Phone sales?
I think they don't know.
No, they didn't say.
No, anyway. That's what a surprise.
I'm just being a Snyder.
Yes, I think they're kind of, they are advertising on TV now, which is interesting. But it seems to have gone very quiet on that front, doesn't it? Since they had that the cock up with the automatic updates blacking people's phones, I think they've almost had to secretly go back to the drawing board. In the drawing board?
I remember Woolworths when they used to advertise on TV as well. Anyway. Habitat, they used to advertise on TV.
So is Everest double glazing.
Any other Smash? They used to be on TV.
Okay. Oh, Shake and Vac. Remember Shake and Vac?
Oh.
Now you're showing your age. Right.
The worst thing, guys, I'm so tempted to hover over that YouTube video and bring in the Shake and Vac advert.
And put the freshness back. Well, it is a hot summer's afternoon, evening, and we could really do with some freshness back. Certainly in this small podcast studio.
Bring us back. Help. Nokia losses.
Like off Nokia.
No, that's because while everyone else is nice and rosy, Nokia are showing the weaknesses around the edges. They're losing money, I think. In fact, yes, so revenues fell by 7%. So they're not actually losing money, they're just shrinking.
Well, revenues fell by 7%, but they made a loss of 368 million euros, and that was despite them receiving 430 million euros from Apple. So they did say the Apple settlement was going to be, you know, make quite a dent on their, you know, bottom line, but not quite enough.
So, I mean, do we know whether there's a reason for that? Have they given a reason?
They're rubbish.
They're just not in the right arena.
Well, I mean, they're in the right arena, you know. I mean, they just don't really have the products that compete anymore, do they?
No.
No. And we got no numbers on RIM and all that.
I can't remember the numbers for RIM, but they're laying off 2,000. And there was a whole lot of rumours circulating that they were actually going to cancel one of the playbooks. I think it was the Wi-Fi only one. But then they denied it and said it was rubbish, but it came from somewhere.
Well,
they keep coming out with products, but the problem is their existing products are a bit rubbish. They don't even have a phone that's good.
If you go and look at the BlackBerry phones, to me they've not changed in 5-6 years.
Everyone I know that's had a BlackBerry or has one now hates them. They find them awkward, difficult to use, and they really want to get rid of them. The reason they're using them is because they're work phones.
And that is such a turnaround, isn't it, from 5, 6, 7 years ago when
BlackBerries was the big thing, wasn't it?
Everybody wanted a BlackBerry. Everybody wanted that instant get your email on your phone, on your portable device, and get rid of that downtime at the airport or whatever, you know, while you're traveling. But you know, there was that article that Gruber did last week that he linked to, where they're talking about actually, it's by design, it's deliberate, really, that they didn't want to have any of the entertainment functions on the phone. So they thought, you know, nobody really wants to listen to music or play games or watch videos on their phones. So they weren't going to put them in BlackBerries. And they still could not understand why people would want to buy iPhones or the Android devices.
To be honest, I reckon that's not necessarily a bad business model for attracting the business market, as it were. You know, for business to business sales, that's a good concept. But it's just that they've left it in, you know, early 2000s style and look and feel and the way it works. You know, it's awkward.
Yeah, it's not just that, but the thing is that people now, I mean, people used to have a work phone, but now people really want to use their personal phone as well. Now people carry two devices, which is, you know, I mean 5, 6, 7 years ago, I mean, when Rim would never have really imagined that people would want to carry two devices around, but that's what people do now. If they've got if they've got to have a BlackBerry, they would rather use their own phone.
Okay, let's get on to lovely Appleness. Apple have released the Lion.
You knew it was coming.
So they released it on the App Store. It's App Store only, or it is to start with. £21, and a 3.5 gig download that took ages on the first night. I'm not surprised. I imagine the whole world was downloading. Okay, Ian's shaking his head, which means that on his super snazzy connection direct to the internet.
I came home from work at 4:10. It was Wednesday, so it was a badminton night. And by the time I left at 4:30, it was ready to install.
There you go. I left it on. I didn't try till later, so it was probably about 9 in the evening, and by then it was really not moving anyway.
But I'd done a foolish mistake and hadn't created my backup DVD, USB, boot disk, whatever, and when you download it and install it, that's gone. So I had to download it again in the mini, and that was taking forever. You know, I started that off, 9 o'clock, and went to bed at 11:30, and it was only 15-20% in. So yeah. I think it was after that kind of 6-7 o'clock, it just turned to an absolute crawl.
Well, is that when USA starts kicking in properly? Yeah,
there was 1 million downloads on the first day.
I mean,
it's a lot of downloads.
It's a lot of data moving around, and it's not surprising that it can't cope fully. But still,
that's a lot of cash for Apple. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, and that, you know, they're the ultimate of pilot high, sell it cheap almost, aren't they now? That seems to be the model they're taking with all their software and their bits and bobs. They realise that the model for keeping it cheap, everyone upgrades, is probably better than make it expensive and have less people.
Well, and of course, it's not just the operating system. I mean, you look at Final Cut Pro 10 now. How much is that? £200 or something? Or no, it's less than that, isn't it? Or something like that.
Isn't that only because they got slated and all the pros started leaving or something?
Well, maybe so, but you know, for a product that used to cost £800-900, it's they're certainly.
And when you look at Aperture as well, it was up at, I think, was it about 180, 200, and they dropped it down to £80. You know, so I think they are setting out their stall that they believe software, if it's priced more competitively and more people buy it, there's less piracy, etc.
And I'm sure they're right.
And in their earnings call, they did actually say that there was some sort of accounting practice that they use. I can't remember what it is, but they've basically said they've set aside something for. That's your phone again.
Not my phone.
That's my phone.
Oh, it's Henry's phone.
I've got the door shut and everything.
We're pro.
Standards are just gone right downhill. I'm telling you.
It's this Google Hangout, man. We're just hanging out, you know, chilling.
Yeah, exactly. but they've taken basically a kind of future hit on the operating system and on iCloud, with many people believing that this is maybe a sign that future updates for the operating system might be free.
It's more beneficial to them to have everyone on the latest operating system and pushing along, because as soon as you reach the end of your hardware cycle, you know, you feel compelled to buy the new hardware to keep up with the latest trend, you know.
Absolutely.
And they're not frightened of having, you know, saying, right, we're no longer supporting X hardware now. And okay, that does come a fair way down the line, but they do cut off sooner than Microsoft will. Apple would never be in the situation of trying to still chop off XP at this late stage.
Anyway,
so bits and bobs, what do you like, what do you don't like? I am now used to the reversed scrolling. I left it on. The only problem I have now is that going between one a PC and now back to a Mac, all those I was going to use Ruder. All the confusion that you have when you're trying to scroll around when you first start with the new method comes back when you're using a PC now.
And I deliberately switched it off. This is natural scrolling feature. So basically, it means you scroll in the same direction as if you're using an iPad or using a touch device. Yeah. So it's the inverse way that you're used to. And at first I was fine, but then I thought, when I go to work tomorrow, I'm going to be stuffed. So I switched it off, and I'm going to now look to see if there's a way of inversing it on Windows. Because the way I kind of like to think about it is I want to use the defaults, because I think that's a sign of where they're going in the future.
Where Apple goes, often other people follow, so we'll see whether there's plugins and stuff. I'm sure Windows will release plugins and stuff.
I'll rattle through my... Oh, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, it's just the concept is the difference between your fingers grabbing the scroll bar and moving down and the fingers grabbing the page and flicking up, isn't it? That's the concept difference that they want to get
across. It's like your invert stick nonsense and...
Yes.
Or whatever it was. Yeah. All that nonsense.
Yeah. Go on then.
Microsoft Simulator, Flight Simulator.
Yeah, but all that kind of stuff. You know, like if you push up, do you look up or do you look down? I look down.
There you go. I look up.
There you go. Seriously?
Only in games, yeah.
That's why you suck at Halo. Anyway, there.
There you go. Yeah. So, go on, what do you like about it then? Go on, give us your loves and hates.
I thought it was slightly faster. I really liked Mission Control. I thought that was a real nice update to Expose, which are your Expose, whatever you want to call it, but that's what I'm used to using. And I thought Mission Control and the kind of integration with Spaces, you know, being able just to three finger swipe and move between Spaces, I thought worked really well. You know, so I found myself, you know, in Lightroom, maximize it up, put it on its own space, and I just, yeah, really liked it. I loved Mail. I thought the Mail update was nice. Conversation view made a lot more sense. Seems to be faster. Searching seems to be much better within it as well. I hate with an absolute passion iCal and address book.
Yeah,
they're just, and the kind of like the faux leather, the little ripped off tear.
They're like cheap old freeware apps that you used to download and go, yeah. What the heck? Get rid of that. I'm sure the functionality of it's all very nice. But if you put false leather at the top of any application, it's going to get chucked out the window.
I was instantly transformed, whatever.
Transfixed.
Transmorgified. I was instantly taken back to 1996 in my PC format, you know, coming through the post with some
shoving
sort of,
the 3.5-inch floppy, yeah.
You know, like leather calendar 3.1, you know, and putting it on and going, oh, look, it looks like a calendar.
Oh, I've got a file of fax on my computer.
Exactly. And I remember all that nonsense where it was like, let's try and make it look like the kind of, you know, a digital version of your analog world. And it's like, no, give me the benefits rather than making it look faux and the same.
Yeah.
So I just started, it's little things like the, and it was on one of the other podcasts to talk about, the little ripped effect that you can see in iCal. Why is that there? Because I can't rip anything off. So, and it's given it, and it gives the impression, it's like, so with a gesture, can I rip through days? No. Does it change? No. Does it get worse at the start of the year or better? Because if I look at my Dilbert calendar, there's no rips, but when it comes to November, there's loads. There's nothing. And I just, oh, who thought that was a good idea? See, if it's Steve, then maybe it's time to go. That really didn't like it.
Yep. Get that off your chest. Do you feel better now?
No, because one other thing that's missing that I really used to like, used to be able to like move to another window that was in the background and scroll through the contents without bringing it to the front. You can't do it anymore.
Oh, okay, I've never done that before. Okay. What, so it pings it to the front, or you just can't actually grab it?
So I used to just be able to go over, so I could move over to like my Twitter window that's in the middle here, and I could just with the mouse just scroll through it. And because the mouse was over a window in the background, it would scroll through that window. So without bringing it to the front and taking over your whole machine, you could still scroll through that content, and it's gone. Why would you take that away? Cock.
It's funny that I quite like, I mean, my overall impression of the whole update was a bit meh. You know, it was a bit, okay, I've done it. I'm happy. It's not screwed anything up. It seems like it's not slowed anything down, so fair enough. And it took a while to get used to scrolling, but other than that, you know, I just didn't, there wasn't much to see really. I agree that things like Mission Controller are okay. I do find I end up wobbling my screen around quite a lot accidentally. So it's funny how the desktop doesn't feel very solid anymore, because it sort of moves all over the place. And because I was used to, in say in Chrome, when to go back to the previous page, you used to be able to swipe back with two fingers, and you can't do that anymore. So that just jogs the screen. And so the only way I can go back through pages in Chrome, because they haven't done the update yet, is to actually go up to the back button, which is a little bit frustrating. But I mean, yeah, so I wasn't overwhelmed, and I'm glad it was only £20, but I'm sure a lot more has gone in under the hood.
And I think it's the under the hood things, you know, like even the fact that when I do a reboot, and I'm having to do a reboot because it crashes every day, so I'll remember to moan about that in a minute. But when you do shut it down, if there was an update that, you know, a bit of software says reboot, the fact that all your windows are popping back in the same place, everything's left, you know, as you walked away, I really do like.
Some,
you know,
people aren't liking that concept. They reckon that a reboot should be that kind of the whole process of just starting from scratch. You know, if you want to have everything come back, then just do a hibernate or whatever. But a reboot should be let's start from scratch. And I can hear that. But
no, I disagree. I disagree. Because if I had a reboot because I've got a system update, then why should I start from scratch? I just want to keep working. And to me, I've got things set up the way I want to set up. You know, that's the whole point of it. So I actually like it.
But it keeps crashing on you. So that's, I mean, mine doesn't crash at all.
No, it seems like it's a bug with IMAX. So it's when you're playing after a certain amount of time, you play a video and you still move your mouse around, you still hear the video, but your whole system's frozen. So it's actually a big power off button required, which is very annoying.
Yes, that's not what you want, is it?
No.
And I assume they're going to fix that.
And yours is one of those really flashy, top of the range, isn't it, Ian? IMAX, 27 inch with...
If they couldn't release a,
yes.
If they couldn't release a bug, you know, patching to make everyone think, oh, now's the time to buy it, then they probably introduced it deliberately. There we go.
And I think, as I say, I think there's a lot under the hood that's changing that
do we think that though? As in, we say, oh, there must be absolutely something going on under the hood. But maybe they might be just going, let's just put this new scrolling direction in. Say there's loads going on under the hood, and that'll do.
Well, I think the whole versioning that's going to be there once apps start supporting it. I mean, that's a massive under-the-hood change.
As soon as versioning it's comes all, in big, and as soon as cloud comes to Europe, it's going to be a compelling thing. But until cloud comes to Europe, it's not.
It's all 64-bit as well. You know, so I think there is a lot there that has changed. You know, QuickTime's a total rewrite.
It's the things like QuickTime. I mean, you don't realise with a Mac how much QuickTime is... It is so embedded in the OS, and that's what's taking them, you know, so long to rewrite, because it's got its fingers in everything. So to rewrite things like QuickTime has been a huge undertaking. And let's not forget that Apple don't have a massive number of developers. They're not Microsoft.
I don't care. Google. That argument runs nothing for me, because the only reason they don't have loads of developers is because they don't want loads of developers, because they don't want people chatting to other people, basically. They've got enough money to have all the developers in the world. So that's no argument.
Anyway.
I've killed Henry.
Yeah. No, well, I've just have a little stop rolling.
What I have found is there's lots of neat little touches throughout, you know, that aren't mentioned anywhere, and you just kind of stumble upon them. Even just going in and you know, about this Mac has changed, and it's a lot more iOS-like. I don't like the login screens, got to be honest.
I've never seen a login screen. I'm not, because I never have to.
Ah, okay. What was interesting as well is that the people have been talking about how do you recover. You know, do I need a backup disk? And, you know, this I've downloaded 3.5 gig. I don't want to do it again. With the new hardware that we're going to talk about next, but it's now got, you can now recover from the internet. So there's recovery options, and you can now recover from the internet, which is quite snazzy.
Or scary. What's it put on the internet that it knows how to recover your stuff?
No, it's more just the, it'll do diagnostics and do checks and all that kind of good stuff. So rather than actually having a disk there that does that, it can connect. So I guess within, there's a kind of rescue partition, and also within the BIOS, there's enough to get you back on and get you up and running.
Well, do you know,
when did they come
It's one of those things in Windows that, you know, you've got, say you've got a virus and you're not convinced that your antivirus is completely up to date or whatever, you know, and you're scouring the internet looking for something to check, and there's all sorts of malware around there as well. It is a pretty good idea if you know that you can go to the Apple site, for instance, and pick up something that'll work.
Almost a proper safe mode. Unlike the scummy safe mode that I remember. Anyway. iTunes has got an update.
They have.
So it's gone 64-bit Cocoa and full screen, but still hateful.
Yeah, I'm finding iTunes crashing all the time on PC at the moment. It's just horrible.
It is the most loathsome piece of software in the world, isn't it? I mean,
I still remember Steve Jobs when I bought the iPod way back in the day, and it was real software that it came with. And then it was one of these keynotes that says, "We've just made the best bit of Windows software ever." And up pops iTunes. And everybody was like, "Woohoo!" And at the time, I was the same, but it's just, no.
No.
iWork's been updated, so it's got versioning and supports full screen. And Xcode went free in the App Store.
It did. I bought it for $2.99 the day before it went free. Gutted.
You don't know how much that has made me smile. That's just so good, actually.
That's for your money back.
Never mind, eh? Never mind.
So overall, a bit like you, I mean, I don't at the top. There's, I think there's some good features. There's some nice touches, but overall, it's a bit meh.
Yeah, and that's fair enough. It's almost like you want an update like that once every few weeks. But the thing is, in an operating system, once it's done, isn't it? It runs the software, and that's all you want it to do, really. Never mind.
Even more scathing, it did feel like a service pack.
It did. Yes. A bit like they felt they had to do something with the Macs, because we've done so much with all this iOS.
But no, we've just mentioned, are you going to use Launchpad at all?
I don't see why I would. I've already got an applications button. I have it up just to bring it up.
I find the whole thing a bit bizarre, Launchpad, I must admit.
When you've got a button on your taskbar already that says applications and does the same thing, it seems a bit pointless. Never mind.
If they'd made Launchpad the desktop.
They couldn't do that. Anyway. Yeah. So new hardware. They've released some new Airs, new Mac Minis. Got the new display out there. And basically they go a bit quicker. Some of them are a bit less expensive and some a bit more expensive. Is that summary enough for you?
No, that's you being a cock. Because you've been up since 6 o'clock this morning and you feel a bit tired and you're wanting to get off Apple. The Airs, same price. The backlit keyboards, which I think makes a big difference. It's got Thunderbolt, which makes hee-haw difference, because you can't buy anything for Thunderbolt unless you're rich. And I think the important thing the speed is basically double last year's, which is only 9-10 months ago.
So they've put the new in the i5 and the i7 and these things.
But the kind of bench test that they're doing, if you'd bought a MacBook Pro last year, this Air is now quicker than the MacBook Pro of last year.
Yeah, that is quite something.
You know,
I'm old hat now. I'm out of date.
Yeah, so one of the, in fact, the child at work. We've got a summer student in, so we do call him the child.
Excellent.
Somebody said to me, "Do you call him that to his face?" And I was like, "Of course."
I call it to him on the podcast.
I'd love it if he was listening to this, because he's just bought a MacBook Air. And he's all quite excited about it. He was sitting there stroking his beard going, "Oh my God, no way."
I thought you said he was a child. Surely he doesn't have a beard.
Oh, it takes him about 3 weeks to grow. Think of your beard, Henry.
That's better than me, I know.
It's paint on, yeah.
I remember Henry back in the day would shave like once in 7 days.
If you were lucky.
Yeah.
This is 7 day growth for me. Everyone's admiring me.
Yeah. I'm saying nothing.
That's great on radio. It looks great on radio.
Thank you very much.
So I think the Air is actually a very significant upgrade. I am so tempted to go and buy one.
But you don't need one.
He does now. He wants a Mac that works.
It's something you want, surely, rather than need. But that, I mean, that's fair enough. That's legitimate purchasing gadget world.
How's your Lotus? Right back at you.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
get it right off you. The, I ain't cutting that out either. The, so the Mini, double the speed, no drive. So it's drive. So there's no super drive nonsense. So you can't put a DVD in it anymore.
Yeah, so it's almost, it's sort of going in the opposite direction to where we said that it should have gone, but you know, but they've cut it down in price.
So much so that Shaq bought one.
Yes, he actually, I know he hinted at it, lied about it, and then he has actually done it, has he?
He it bought an Apple TV, and it just wasn't working out. And if you looked at how he'd stored his data, it wasn't working out because it's not an Apple format. He didn't want to convert it. That was his issue. So he's picked up a Mini. He was going to go buy a kind of second-hand one on eBay, around about kind of 450 price. And then these came out, you know, dropped
75 quid more, yeah.
And you're like, well, just buy this, you know, double the speed. Doesn't have a drive, but to be honest, most of his media isn't on disc.
No, and if you're not going to put a Blu-ray in it, then you might as well not have the DVD because it's pointless, basically. But they've also released a Thunderbolt display. So they're sort of, I guess it's their cinema display, right? But with the Thunderbolt port on it, which means it's useless for any other PC or, you know, computer. Is that about right?
Maybe. I've not looked into it. The bit that scared me off was the fact it's £900
for a monitor. 900 quid for a monitor. Which is only the same thing that's in the iMac anyway, or roughly similar.
Oh, I did see somebody tweet that they always wanted Apple to release a docking station, and this is it.
A docking station?
Well, because you connect via Thunderbolt, and it's got three USB 2s, one FireWire, it's got the gigabit Ethernet on it, so you can have all these other things connected, and you just plug in your MacBook Air, and you can have your desktop up and running.
I just don't, and I guess that's why they do things like the Thunderbolt, but they do it more because it just keeps everyone inside the loop of selling it.
Well, yeah, only if people buy it, though, doesn't it? Only if people buy this stuff.
Exactly.
But they're Apple people. Of course they'll buy it. Of course
bah.
They will. Yeah, too bah. Right. It's got an Apple on the back. There is an element of that. And the thing is, if Apple didn't have something like the Thunderbolt port, do you really think that people would be buying Apple proprietary stuff, or do you think they'd be plugging in nice, cheap alternatives?
I think we'll only see how good Thunderbolt is maybe a year from now, when we've got a plethora of devices. At the moment, we've got a very high-end RAID that's expensive and not many.
Yeah, it's another 800 quid for that RAID drive, isn't it? Or something
but
around
but
that.
Maybe
yeah.
That's what the people. Maybe that's all that we will get. These kind of high-end stuff that people want to use for very specialist stuff. The issue is that you can't get the. I mean, certainly most people would plug in the cheap stuff if they could.
I mean, I'd love to buy a. What have I got just now? I've got my FireWire drive down there. Western Digital. I'd love to go and buy a Thunderbolt Western Digital. You know, I don't know, 2 terabyte, 3 terabyte. I would just sit and do my kind of.
If they add Thunderbolt backups as an additional port to other options, then maybe maybe I don't know. I don't like the idea of just a cable just for Apple. It's frustrating.
Well, and that MacBook Air, oh sorry,
I just don't like the idea of all your stuff, which is still reasonably fine, it's not obsolete, except that it doesn't have the right kind of connection on it, all of a sudden you can't use it because you've upgraded your hardware.
And that's what I feel uncomfortable with. Like if I'd bought this Mac and there wasn't a FireWire 800 port on it, I'd be fairly bitter. And I think the only reason there's still one there is that there's no Thunderbolt devices out.
Yeah.
In a year or two's time, that it will be that the iMacs and MacBook Airs won't have FireWire 800 or have Thunderbolt, and they'll force that upon people.
I wonder whether the old cinema displays work with the new. I guess they do still. I don't know what they connected via before. Probably straight
in. Well, it's the same. It's the same port. I think it was just that Mini Display port, which is the same connector, isn't it?
It is the same connector.
Oh, right. So it can still work there, supposedly. Okay.
And also just pointing out, that MacBook Air is now the kind of base model. There's no more white plastic MacBooks.
They've gone the way of Dodo. Yeah. They still had a market, but they've with the cheapest MacBook Pro now looking like a much better proposition, I was surprised they kept it going as long as they did, really.
Well, the fact, I mean, you could buy an Air, you could buy that, and it's just night and day.
Yeah. Yes, there wasn't really a choice in that. Okay, so They did also sneak out some price increases for their apps not too long ago. So, and they didn't actually let everyone know they're going to do it, but 59p apps went up to 69p. Their iWork suite went up to 14 quid from 12 quid, basically. And other, you know, $5.99 price point moved to $6.99. So it's 10-15% rise on, you know, across the range, really, with it. And they didn't really say they were going to do it.
No, I think I'm wondering if it was T3. I think it was one of the T3 editors was fairly annoyed because they'd just done an advertising campaign talking about here's how much our magazines cost in the Apple Store. And obviously they're now different.
Now all that advertising
no, they're not.
Out of date. Yeah.
And I mean, most of the rise is around 10-15%. And I'm trying to remember the name of the blog. I'll put it in the show notes. But one of the bloggers did point out that he thought this was coming when Lion was announced at $20.99. And that wasn't a tier on the App Store currently. And sure enough, you know, all the prices get juggled and it is a tier.
It is the first price increase for 3 years, though.
Yeah, and first and sure, businesses increase fairly often and small amounts. And I guess this is fairly small amounts and not that often, so we can't moan too much.
And just to point out, but this wasn't a price increase. You know, it wasn't like the American prices went up as well. This was a rebalancing due to exchange rate.
Yeah, yeah, heard it all.
Whatever.
No, I'm just pointing out
because they're always rebalancing based on our exchange rate.
No. All I'm saying is it's not the prices went up in America.
No.
If that had happened, I would have been more accepting of it.
Yeah. Yes. So they've another excuse. HTC, they are getting taken to court, or the decision of a panel of, a decision has been made that they are actually infringing on a couple of Apple's patents, which is interesting. So, although it hasn't been ratified, there looks like they could be offered a cease and desist potentially for Android, or stop trading, or more than likely a fine or a price per license fee to be paid to Apple from the Android or HTC coffers. It's got to be ratified by a panel, but they weren't expecting that decision, I don't think.
No, and the two patents also were a fairly fundamental level. I'm just reading it.
One of them was how Apple automatically highlights phone numbers and lets you click it to phone that number. And another one says, I've identified that as an address. I'll whack it in your address book, whatever. Or, you know, here's a meeting from this email. I mean, I don't know why. I still don't see how you can get patents for these things because, I don't know, they just seem obvious. But
yep, software patents, bad.
Clearly you can. And there was another one. I can't remember the other patent. It probably was a bit more of a fundamental thing because I didn't understand it, I don't think.
I think the interesting thing it wasn't so much an HTC thing, but more of an Android thing. That was the.
It's all Android. These aren't HTC technologies. Yeah. It's just that Apple went after HTC for reasons.
Well, did not HTC put a lawsuit on Apple? So this may well just all be sorted out in the end.
Tit for tat.
Well, the way these things normally work out is that they have cross-licensing deals, all the companies do, and this just got to the stage, they just kept upping the ante and they didn't agree. So I imagine that they'll still come to some sort of agreement in the end.
But they just mire themselves in this, you know, horrible gloopiness of not being able to do anything, get anything done or innovate because they're sat there shouting at each other. It's just pointless.
And these things take years and years and years to resolve, don't they? So, you know, I mean, this almost doesn't really mean anything. Although, you know, we would think, a judge has made a decision. That sounds like there's something going to happen. Actually, it's just the first stage in a process because, you know, they're always going to appeal and then counter appeal. And, you know, the process goes on for years in the American legal system. It's just bizarre I just can't get my head around it at all.
No, neither can I. HTC have come out today and said they're now willing to negotiate.
They clearly think they've got something to be worried about then.
Yeah. And the whole patent thing, I think, is just broke. Absolutely broke. And unless there's some fundamental changes, it's just going to get worse.
Well, Google have come out today and said that, you know, they pretty much said that we are stuck in it. We're just ruining innovation by all this stuff. We've got to sort something out. So
They would say that.
Well, they would.
Teasing. But they tried it, didn't they? With you know, it was the Authors Guild in the States opposed them even putting on like the old public domain books and things in the onto Google. You're just like, you know, scanning all these old books and stuff, which, you know, it's just like the kind of, there's public service stuff behind that as well, and you know, they just get hammered at every turn.
Yes. Right. So another, so hot on the heels of Chinese Disney theme parks, we've now got fake Chinese Apple stores coming online, which by all, they look exactly the same. And I imagine they feel exactly the same when you're in there, but they are not Apple.
No, the interesting thing with this story is, though, that they're actually selling real Apple products, which is quite interesting.
Because at first I thought, well, seeing I saw this kind of fake store, I thought, okay, so it'll be selling fake iMacs that look the same, or you've seen these fake iPhones that are, they're running some sort of Androidy or some sort of, you know, I don't know, Playmobil type operating system. You know, it's quite clearly different, but it's
Lego,
an iPhone. Yeah. And I thought, oh, this is what the store was selling, but no, they're selling iMacs and iPads and iPhones. All the staff are wearing the same gear. They've all got the same logos and stuff. All the branding's the same. And some of the staff even thought it was that they were working for Apple. It was that good a stitch up. But there were some obvious telltales that proved it. More to the point, also, if you walked around the corner, there's another one there that again said something. You know, it looked the same, but it was slightly different. All Apple said when this broke was they're aware in China. I think yesterday there was a Chinese official says they've ordered them to be shut down. I'm sure they'll just pop up somewhere else.
That's because Chinese don't really care about all that. It's only when the business gets, you know, affected that they'll start taking notice. Illegal film downloads up 30%. So we illegally downloaded films gone up by 30% in the last 5 years. So that's from an internet consultancy firm called Envisional. I don't know who they are.
No, but I think we should set up our own consultancy and just make up crap like this. So I read this and just thought, hold on. it's a total puff piece. You know, and fair enough, it has got more popular and everybody knows it's more popular. I don't need to go to a consultancy to go and tell me how much more popular. I'm actually surprised it's not more.
I just think
the results are rubbish.
And yeah, I think, you know, if places like LimeWire hadn't shut down, it'd probably be even worse or whatever. But it's just a factor of the fact that everyone's broadband's bigger now, can cope with more download, and people are making use of it. In shock horror, people are making use of all this technology that people used to say, oh, you can just download films and do all this stuff, and isn't it great? People are doing it, and everyone's getting a bit cheesed off with it now, really.
And there's a link to the torrent for the Panorama program on this story in the show notes.
To be honest, you could see there's any link in the show notes, and the chances of me adding it in are pretty slim. So...
We've got cheaper broadband promised for rural users. BT have been instructed that they've got to lower their wholesale prices to areas. Lower than inflation? They have to lower their prices by more than inflation. That's what I'm trying to say. So good news if you live in Norfolk, Yorkshire, Cumbria, Northumberland.
Now, what I was wondering about this, though, is will it really mean actually cheaper prices to the consumer? Because these are not prices to the consumer, are they?
These are the wholesale prices.
which your ISP is going to sell on to you. So
I think the ISP market has got enough going on in it that will affect the market price. That's my impression of it. There's enough choice and people are savvy enough just about to swap around. So I would say I think that they will at least see some of that being passed on. And in fact, they're probably in their rights to pass most of that on.
But will it also mean that some providers will move into certain areas which they previously thought were maybe unprofitable?
Yeah, maybe.
I'd also like to point out that it's also parts of Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland, and the southwest of England. So it's not just Norfolk, Yorkshire, yeah, Cumbria, and Northumberland.
It's the places you don't really want to be, isn't it?
Is that not where you are, Chris?
No, I'm supposedly in a good area.
What's the fastest broadband you can get?
Where I am now, in my house 6 meg, but actually I'm quite well off compared to a lot of people around here.
What's your brand broadband now, Ian?
It's only 50. I have been thinking this week about jumping to 100.
Yeah, can you get 100 in York where you are?
I can get 100 and I can get 10 meg up.
Gosh, that's only 10 times what Chris can get.
Mm.
I get along.
Move to Glasgow. I get honestly along. Move to Glasgow.
Not how big it is, it's what you do with it. Government releases more data. So they're continuing on their crusade of releasing information out into the wild. A data geek's dream, I would imagine. So what are they releasing now?
A lot more on NHS, a lot more on education. So there'll be a single portal you can just crack on and compare schools. Crime, so you can see where you want to move to or where you've got problems within certain areas. Transport, I think this is probably the biggie. All rail data is going to, a lot more rail data is going to be released. And already our people are thinking, you know, finally we'll be able to do some sort of proper mashup that gives us a decent ticket price rather than the nonsense we've got just now, which is just an absolute disgrace. And also government financial transactions. So every spend on every department above £500 will be released, which I'm sure is just going to be crowdsourced by The Guardian to go and find the really shocking spends that take place, you know, like...
It just saves those documents having to be leaked, doesn't it? It's just it there, does. Out there in the world.
It does. Which department spent £50,000 on this particular Twitter account?
Yes.
Or it's the bit I don't get is like they'll say, well, we had to do this because of blah, blah, blah. But it's like, but you spent 30 grand on a sofa. You know, whereas you could have spent £200 on a sofa.
Everyone knows that's DFS deals are always on.
Exactly. It's a sale every day of the year.
I know. An interest-free credit means they don't have to pay for it until the next government.
The next government would have to pay for it.
Parliament.
Yeah. Perfect. We've come up with a perfect plan. I love all these data sets being released, though. It's great. It's and the more they get released, the more there is potential for mashups and the incredible data you can get out of these things, like or information you can get out of these things.
As we've seen with all the hacking stuff over the last few weeks, transparency is key, and that was, I guess, the little side product for all the hacking. The amount of stories that have came out all round about it and how much people have known is very interesting. But transparency is a good thing.
Let's quickly have a Google roundup, and then I think we're nearly at the end. So Google looks like they've been putting on their cape and being the crusader and the saviour of all of us. Again, I don't know the details.
Basically,
you're a cracking host tonight.
It's not... I just love that it's taking you 59 minutes and 47 seconds to realise that you know nothing about any of the stories tonight, but you thought you'd just admit it now.
I did say, and I don't know anything about this as well, you know.
That's okay.
That's acknowledgement, at least, that I haven't said anything about any of those.
Apart from, I must say, but you have turned into a financial whiz.
I say billion in such a snazzy way.
It's the authoritative way you say it.
Yes.
I'm just pleased I said authoritative without making a mistake.
Twice,
indeed. Google spotted some dodgy data in their search traffic, and so they collaborated with security engineers at several companies that were sending this modified traffic, and they found out a way of detecting this malware
and hijacking the botnet for their own purposes.
Pretty much. So basically, if you're on a Windows machine and you have this malware, you'll get a warning, which you'll probably ignore.
There you go.
That was it.
Beautiful.
Well done, Google.
Also, shockingly, they're going to kill off their labs. So the Google Labs, where for, I guess it's years now, we've been going to see the latest releases that Google have put out into sort of beta or alpha versions. They're going to close it down. They have said it's not going to be the end of their kind of the projects that they do and the outcomes. They're going to still release projects and things into the wild, but it's not going to, they want to concentrate on their core business, which I guess you can understand. They've got a lot on their plate and you've got to focus down somewhere, but I liked Google and Google Labs, and they came up with some good stuff. I mean, let's not forget that, you know, Gmail came out of that, all the calendar stuff, Google Goggles and all their sort of their online applications and stuff. They all started out in the labs area.
With people's 20% time, isn't it? I mean,
I think things that got into the project were probably outside of their 20%. I think they got into their whatever the other next band up is. It 40% or something.
Oh, I don't really know how they work. I just know that you get, you know, one day a week where you get to do whatever you like at Google and try and come up with some amazingly great thing. And a lot of those things did make it into the labs. But they're not killing that off, which is quite understandable. I imagine that if you work for Google, the fact that 20% of your time you can choose to do whatever you like with trying to come up with some really cool things is one of the main attractions of working there.
But we just won't get to see those kind of things much. I think that's right.
And just to point out, the Gmail labs and the Calendar labs won't be shut down. They're still going to be there. But it's the labs program as a whole that brought out like Google Reader, Google Goggles. That's the bit that's gone. And they say it's to do more focus. So who knows? Might be a good thing.
And here's the last thing of our show notes, and again, I've not even seen this story before. Think with Google. What's that then?
Yes. So they've stuck their kit back on again, and we covered something like this about, I don't know, 3-4 months ago. It's like a quarterly magazine they were bringing out.
I do know this story. I was underselling myself.
Ah, what a guy. Of course, you could just be sitting there with a bluff card now. Who knows?
Quickly, every other thing. Now, this is Google's version of TED Talks, isn't it?
Pretty much. So there was they do the Think Quarterly magazine, which is maybe like 10 to 12 articles, all nicely presented and worked quite well. This is more a channel, which it's almost like small TED-like videos. So inspirational ideas, topics, etc. around about, you know, digital technology. So thinkwithgoogle.co.uk, not patronising at all.
Think with Google. Today's letter.
But even the Google channel on like YouTube, where they have all the kind of, because they get a whole load of, you know, people come to Google a lot and do talks and presentations, and they put a lot of that online. Some of it is great, really, really good.
There's good stuff out there. Sometimes it just needs that kind of pointer to get you directed towards the good content. So that's all.
You mean like a link in the show notes?
Like a link in the show notes. Thinkwithgoogle.co.uk. Okay, so that's the end of our news. Whee! So, let's have a quick go at our picks. I, as ever, have foregone my pick. But Ian, let's have yours.
Mine's is Conquest 2. Conquest was a game for the iPad originally. I'm sure it was my pick before. I loved it. Think Risk, but better. Great music, great graphics. But it was a kind of, you know, you could only play with yourself. That was it. That was when it let itself down.
I don't think that's what it was designed for.
No, and with something like it, there's only so much that a bot can do before you need a human to kind of take over and help you along. So
indeed.
So, and I just stumbled on this. Seemed like it came out about a month ago.
Yeah, I've had it for about a month.
And we've lost the plot.
I've not had it yet.
So Conquest 2 is out, $1.99. There's now 8 maps instead. I think there's only 4 before. There's 4 game modes, but it's now brought online multiplayer and party modes as well. You can tweak the rules within it. It supports Game Center, loads of stats, and also it's universal, so it runs on an iPhone as well. And myself and Henry did try and set up a game before we came on, but failed miserably. But multiplayer is there. And I downloaded it a couple of days ago, and it's like, oh, man, it's like my old friends back. I do like Conquest. Very nice.
Very good.
Highly, highly recommended.
Maybe one day I'll get it on Android. Maybe one day. So, Henry, that's you seem to have written one in, so let's have that one.
Yeah, well, it's a couple of comic book apps, you know, like for making your own kind of comic strips or books. Now, Halftone has been a featured app of the week in the iTunes store, so you may have seen it already. 79p now with the price increase. 69p, isn't it?
Yeah, you're going once your next year's price.
I'm next year's price already. So 69p, and basically you take a picture from your camera roll, or you take a picture, and you can make it look like either a 50s comic book kind of, you know, first page single frame type thing, adding titles and that kind of thing, and some amusing comments that are coming out of your bubbles.
So you
out
could
of
make a comic of your day, basically.
Yes, yes. Or add a, you know, add a caption to you know, fill it, make a caption competition entry, if you liked, or you know, that kind of thing. Make you see something mildly amusing, that kind of idea, in a speech bubble or thought bubble, that kind of thing.
Playing Conquest on his own.
Absolutely, that's what it's about. So it's as these kind of things go, Halftone for Single Frame for adding extra bits and pieces. Think a bit like WordArt for Microsoft Word that you want to add on top of your photos. You can do that. Mildly amusing for a bit of bit of light relief.
There you go.
Comic Life is a more serious application in the same vein, in that you can have lots of different panes per page, multiple pages per book, multiple books in the same app. It's iPad only, whereas Halftone is a universal app, and it's quite a bit more expensive. So it's $9, but not sure what that's working out as. It was about a fiver. In real money, and it's not a bad port of Plask, PLASQ's. They're the publisher. They've got this app on the Mac as well, so you could download if you've got that already. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about. It's quite a popular app for that kind of thing. For doing those, yeah, it's like it's like those kind of photo stories that used to be very popular back in the day in the likes of Just 17 magazine or in Smash Hits, that Excellent. Kind of thing. So it really, really, you know, we're really going way back now and quite retro. But lots of fun to play around with, only limited by your imagination.
Magical.
Use your imagination. Anyway.
And on that note, that is the end of our podcast. Well done for getting this far. If you would like to find out more, you can do so.
Is that well done for us?
Yeah, I think it might be. If you would like to find out more, www.digitaloutbox.com, email info@digitaloutbox.com, Twitter and Skype as Digital Outbox. And I am also on Twitter as CheesyUK. Henry's on Twitter as
Talk Rhubarb,
and Ian's on Twitter as
Tripper.
I swear no one's going to understand what the heck you say each time. Read it in the show notes.
SHWEEPA.
And anyone got a blog to pimp?
IanD.net.
Nope.
Where you'll find out about my hill walk on Saturday, my new car that's coming this week, which is not new. And what else is
new
there?
New to you.
I need to do something about an iMac post at some point. And
when it stops crashing.
I've got 1,200 photos from the air show a week ago.
You could do half a post from the iMac. That would really
it would stop really halfway through a word.
It would reinforce your argument that it's crashing quite often.
Thanks.
Beautiful. But it's lasted all tonight, as has my PC. Whoop de doo. And on that note, I will say goodbye. See you later.
Note.
Bye bye.
Ta-da.
Uh-oh, I left my phone on. Hope you can't hear that. Right, let's get on with some numbers then. Let's get away from
ring,
hacking
ring.
On to numbers here, sorry.
Ring, ring.
Oh, well.
Ring, ring.
It'll go to answer phones, fine. Right, so Apple. Let's start with Apple's earnings, shall we? Oh, no. Now you can hear my answer phone message.
I'm sorry. I'm doing a podcast right now.
I'm sorry.
I can't shut up. Can you cover up for me?
This is great, isn't it? Because we're gonna get some fantastic juicy gossip from Chris's voicemail. Yeah,
that could have been anything.
Yeah.
I'm back. Sorry about that.
Dear Mr. Hutchison, thank you for your order. We're afraid that your credit card has been declined. Are you sure that you meant to buy?
Yes, nothing like that.
I don't know why GIMP masks came right into my head. Sorry.
It's probably the GIMP mask I'm wearing right now on video that gives it away.
Mm. That's right.
Right,
so... You expect me to cut that out?
I think we might have to.
Oh, okay.